have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four! I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
The Orange Crusher got the wall! It's the Frank Williams Show!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Josh, Johnny, Sam, and Tyler is joining us here this evening as the bracket has officially been revealed. We are playing Thursday against the Penn Quakers in Greenville, South Carolina. We get the last three seed. I don't know about you guys. I was definitely sweating that out when they revealed the four in the last region there. And whoo, the three. So lots to talk about this evening, guys. Why don't we just start with like a quick basically whip around how we're feeling. Tyler, you saw the bracket live alongside the rest of us. What was your initial reaction to our Thursday night match, our Thursday sometime matchup?
My immediate reaction was, oh, Fran McCaffrey, great. Another narrative to work through. But I mean, I was like you. I was a little bit, I was like, well, when I saw Virginia come up as the three, I'm like, well, they stole either Nebraska's or our three seed. And so I started to look back and say, there's no argument that puts Nebraska ahead of us on any metric. So I wasn't that worried about it, but I did breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief when I saw Nebraska come up as a four. But other than, you know, the narrative of that first round, I mean, Penn's still 150 on the Ken Kempom, and that's a game you should win. I don't hate the draw, at least for that pod, because UNC is a potential second round matchup, but I just saw they're only a 2.5 point favorite even over VCU with their injury issues. So outside of the fact that, you know, we kind of blew our shot at the two seed this weekend, but at least for a pass to the Sweet 16, I don't hate the draw at all.
Johnny, it's crazy. Johnny's
I gotta say, the committee did a fantastic job. Really gotta give them their flowers here, because in terms of difficult matchups, we didn't really get anything that's like outside of our coverage or what we earned. And honestly, I think you could make the case that Nebraska might have had a better resume than us, and we got the three seed over them. So very thankful to stay on that three line, very thankful to be in the region with the worst one seed. Like Michigan, Arizona, and Duke, all kind of juggernauts. And we got the other region. Very thankful. Like, I don't know. It seemed like all the two seeds are pretty comparable, right? Between Iowa State, Houston, and UConn, who we could have played because we wouldn't have played Purdue. That all feels pretty fair. So now it's just go out, beat the 150th ranked team in KenPom, and then go beat UNC, who doesn't have their best player, or beat VCU, who's an 11 seed. Like, the path seems very fair and clear, and that's all we've ever wanted. All right.
This is so weird hearing this from you, Johnny. Yeah. We're doing this five,
I feel like
six
last
years.
Year you were okay with it. Like,
I was okay with it. Last year we had a solid matchup, yeah, as well. But the committee the past couple of years has really changed their tune on Illinois. Maybe that's the thing. It's just you have to earn it for a little bit. Yeah. Now that we're just an established team, right? Like, oh yeah, of course, Illinois, three seed, no big deal, right? Were we the number 10 overall seed when they showed the line? Like, it's pretty awesome to reflect and be like, wow, an objective committee says that Illinois had the 10th best regular season college basketball in a year where a lot of people are now kind of disappointed.
Yeah, and I mean, Maddie will say I'm always looking for negatives here. Getting North Carolina in South Carolina and then getting Houston, hopefully in Houston, is definitely things that aren't great. But we didn't earn that. We didn't earn to go to St. Louis. We didn't earn to be in Chicago. These are just facts of the matter of how this team played down the stretch, and we're still a three seed. Like, do I want to pull the like? What our tournament record during our 4 years of college this early in the podcast? No,
oh, it's
but
too
like,
early.
It's still we were, like it's still crazy that like this is our third best tournament seeding that we've had in a very like in, since 2005. It's so good, and like I mean our path, you guys both mentioned it. I'm very thankful for it. What's the UNC injury that everyone's talking?
Caleb Wilson,
yeah. Is he out?
Yeah. He broke his thumb.
Got it. So yeah, I mean, favorable as it comes right now. The like, What is it? Tyler, you mentioned it, like getting Fran McCaffrey, the storyline there. It is a storyline, but also like there was going to be a storyline with Akron. There's a storyline with every single
I
head
know
coach.
I don't want
Like,
any of them ever.
yeah,
Ever
but
since
like you're in the tournament,
Loyola,
you're playing good teams,
I'm just
and
spoiled by Loyola. I've ruined me for
you wanted, you would have rather had Idaho or Troy,
it.
but we would
No
have
question.
found a storyline
Yeah, fair enough.
there.
Do you think there's people who are gonna be like, yeah, it's bad because like Fran knows how to beat Illinois. Like he knows our roster better than any of these other 14 seeds. Like he, even though what I don't know what his record, the last 10 games he played against Illinois was what, like
I think we're
the
9 and
one
1.
and one, we're
Yeah.
nine and yeah, eight and whatever, 9-1. So maybe the book is not necessarily out, but
No. He's just doing the same thing
is
that Penny did at Iowa with lesser
worse
players.
players.
So
His tournament resume precedes him,
yeah.
which is a terrible jinx for me to say. And how ironic would it be of like not even the best team in the Ivy League for this to be the year they get hot. But yeah, I mean, as far as storylines go, I feel like not terrible. You're inherently more athletic than them. Like there's just you gotta make the Sweet 16, but you gotta not struggle in the first round.
Look, survive in advance. Obviously, like
Yeah.
we've seen what it looks like when Illinois barely beats like a Chattanooga team, and then you lose in the next round. So you want to win handily. We've also seen what it looks like for Illinois to beat a Drexel team handily and then lose to Loyola in the second round. So there's no transitive property. Tyler, I admittedly I don't think any of us to watch any Penn games this year. I don't know if you have the early scout on them. The only thing I know is this TJ Power guy put up 44 points in their conference title game.
Yeah,
Is it a typical Fran McCaffrey team?
they shoot a bunch of threes. They got like four or five guys that are all above 38% from three. We're still probably outsize them by 3 or 4 inches at every spot on the floor. I think Power 6'9", so that's a Merck matchup, I would guess. But that's really it. I mean, if they make a bunch of threes, they'll make it somewhat of a game. Otherwise, I don't see how this is a team that gives Illinois too much difficulty. But considering how well Illinois played against sub standard teams. I mean, obviously in the last month or so, there was a struggle against the better teams. But anytime Illinois, whether it was in the Big Ten Conference or in the preseason, if we just laid the woodshed to teams who are above 150 in KenPom or even above 100 for that matter. So
Sure. Well, I mean, I asked the boys what the spread was. Take a quick. I
21 and a
took
half, I think, right?
you're right there. Yeah, I saw 20, 20 and a half. Is that
Yeah.
that's a Sam? Sam gave a guess that was a little. Sam, I get it. You're scarred, buddy. He goes minus 8.5. Now this is a 14.
I
This
don't
is a
know what I
14
was
three
thinking.
matchup. This is a 14-3 matchup, Sam.
I was thinking of like us being a one seed coming out a little skittish against Drexel, and yeah, that was a bad guess.
That's okay. I 20 and a half feels I feel more comfortable now.
Yeah, looking at Penn and KenPom, right? This is the equivalent of playing UT Rio Grande Valley. This is a worse team than UT RGV. This is a team equivalent to like Penn State. The Penn lost to Rutgers this year. This is a team that's right around the Maryland level sort of
Don't say it.
competition,
Don't
right?
say it. Don't
But like
don't.
those are all teams we've really handled for the most part. So as far as a 3-14 matchup, KenPom has a 97% chance, right? If you want to make a deep run, you have to win a 3-14 game. And of the 14 seeds you could have gotten, right?
Yes,
We
you have to win if you want to
yeah,
make the Sweet
exactly.
16. That there's no aggregate.
No,
I get
it's
it.
just there's no excuses.
Yes, I agree.
I get it's hard to look at the way the last month has gone and not feel a little bit wonky about it. But if you look at the bigger picture and say, Illinois, obviously we lost these games late and are 0-4 in overtime, but they were ahead and beating these teams by double digits in all of these games as well. I think they had Michigan State up 9, but up 9 again at the road in Michigan State, up double digits, obviously 23 points in UCLA, up against Wisconsin double digits twice late. So I guess the question is, are we the team that does that for 30 minutes, or are we the team that struggles in the last 5 to 10 minutes? But I don't think that comes into play against a team like Penn. I think you just run them out of the building like we did Oregon, like we did, it's Penn State recently. So it's one of the Northwestern, I should say. So I get the nervousness of the opening round because of how we played, but we've not struggled against teams of this caliber all year.
Tyler, I have a question for you, and I know Robert likes to point at like the injury that Keaton suffered at the UCLA game as like the part of where something might have switched for the entire team. But is that where you kind of like go back to? Is where like in the we've lost five of our what last nine, and that is something. It's probably about Keaton's performance, or is there something else that like I don't know the Cowman fan is it noticing besides that we blow leads late?
I mean, Robert's been on this Keaton Wagner's not the same since he had the fall and the injured shoulder at UCLA. My issue over the last month has been Tomislav Ivicic has just not been the guy that he was last year. I mean, this offense that we run is so predicated on him spreading the floor and being capable at knocking down those pick and pop shots. And he made one against Wisconsin on Friday, but it seemed like before then he hadn't made one in a month, and he hasn't rebounded the ball well. And we've been able to work around that because, you know, Z's been better and Merck's been better down the stretch. But if this team is going to, I think they can, even without a 100% Tommy, they can beat Penn and they can probably beat a UNC team who is at their best. But if they're going to have designs on getting past Houston or Florida, as it turns out, Tommy's got to play like he did last year. Otherwise, it's going to be really, really tough.
Yeah, I think that's a great assessment. Because let me give you an example of a team going into this week. They had lost four games out of their last six, and they had really high preseason expectations. But the analytics still said they're like seventh or eighth best team in the country.
I know the answer.
Who's the team, Tyler?
Purdue.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Don't people feel way different about this Purdue team just because of the last week than they did
Twitter, a week ago? Their fans were ready to fire Matt Painter, just like, you know. So it's crazy what a difference a week makes.
Yeah, I feel like it wasn't talked about enough in the media how disappointing their season was, and then they go on this run and that like kind of just switches it because it was just one week of really good basketball, but like the whole entire season for Purdue was terrible for them based on the expectations they had, and it wasn't talked about.
And I mean, literally, you mentioned that this last week, literally this weekend's what did it. The Keith Gill, the tournament director, it came on just after the bracket was announced and said that prior to the weekend, Purdue was up in the 11 line, and they played their way up to the 8 line based on their Big Ten tournament win. So basically, they took our spot because we lost and they won the Big Ten tournament. So
yeah, they should have been lower. I think that was my they have like bias already. Them being 11 going into this weekend, that was crazy in itself.
Are they basically admitting though that they took the entirety of the Big Ten tournament into account?
They did admit that. They admit that. That was the first thing he said.
Yep. I think because it became such a narrative the other direction. Mm-hmm. Well, conference tournaments don't matter. I think they made a point this year to say conference tournaments do matter, which is why it was the first thing out of his mouth on the selection show. Hey, these conference tournaments do matter. Look what we did with Purdue.
You're Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
Which conference tournaments don't matter.
I know they who did they say they bumped as a result of
NC State?
Did they bump Purdue up?
Oh, are you talking about the bubble or are you talking about
from the Big Ten tournament as a result of today's championship?
Yes, they moved Purdue. Purdue was the 11th on the Z curve.
And they got moved
and
up.
And they moved up to 8. Yeah.
I'm kind of imagining them being like, shoot, guys, like, we got to do something with this result, like, just to shut people up.
Well, because also it's different, though. It's like the 7 seed coming to win the whole thing is obviously different versus if it's like, well, if Michigan had won, it probably doesn't change anything. But you have to when a team, quote unquote, that low on the seat, right? A 7 seed wins the turn. You got to move them up.
See, the flawed logic with that, I mean, it's true, but the flawed logic is because Purdue wasn't as good in the regular season, they end up the 7 seed, which really was the favorable side of the bracket.
It was.
And as opposed, so they took advantage of it, and they obviously beat Michigan today. But, you know, they beat three teams that, you know, from a draw perspective, weren't as hard as the other side of the bracket, where Illinois would have gone through Wisconsin and Michigan and then obviously whatever. But it just seemed weird that, we're going to reward them because they got to play more games because they weren't as good in the regular season. So that's just kind
of... That's a very good point. And it's also I don't know. I feel like you either have to like account for it or don't account for it. Or like, it's like, are you going to account for it in years when you can just like kind of flip the seeds? It's weird. It's wonky.
But let me read you guys a couple of Purdue's losses. At UCLA by 2 points. They lost by 11 points to Michigan at home. They lost by 2 points to Michigan State. They lost by 4 points against Wisconsin at home. I think my takeaway is maybe the Big Ten this year was a bloodbath, and the Big Ten was really good, and we might be underrating how difficult this 20-game stretch was. And now that we're in this 68-team tournament with not have – like, right, the seventh-best record team is now considered the eighth-best team in the country.
That's crazy to say committee. It that way, but yeah.
Wow, yeah. One way or another, I know it sounds cliche to say it, especially how Illinois has scheduled non-con. It's like you're definitely battle-tested when you play a 20-game Big Ten schedule and play a Brad Underwood non-con schedule, which is why it feels like a no-doubter. Like, Johnny, you read off the KenPom for our first and second-round matchups. Like, that's nothing compared to what you play in a 20-game Big Ten gauntlet. So you should be ready for this.
Exactly. Like, your second round matchup would be the equivalent of playing Ohio State or Iowa in their second round.
They're like nine seeds, right?
Nine seeds. They're nine seeds, but they're ahead of UNC and KenPom. So like these are just games that you've won this season, right? Now you have the opportunity to just do it one more time. Yeah. And then I love the potential Houston matchup. Obviously, playing them in what's kind of a bit of a road game isn't ideal, but the Kingston Fleming versus Keaton Wagler could be a really fun matchup. And I don't know. I feel like we're due with getting some help in the top half of the bracket.
We got that a couple years ago.
Not every one seed is going to be UConn, right? UConn was by far the best team in the country, and that's the region we were in. This year, Florida, it's hard to go back to back. That's a real emotional toll. And I'm hoping it ends up being like a Florida versus Vanderbilt Sweet 16 matchup. And those teams have played a couple times. And Tyler Tanner, the Vanderbilt point guard, just kind of exploits them. And then we're playing a four seed in the Elite Eight. That's my personal fan fiction. But
Johnny's already wrote the book.
And Keaton outduels Kingston Flemings. And we say, you know what? He's the best freshman. And we get revenge from 2022. We get revenge in the second round on UNC from 2005. Like, this is a real revenge tour.
Revenge tour.
Yeah. Wax poetically, Johnny. Keep going. Wait, keep going. Wait, I mean, we're taking out Duke next, right?
I guess we can go. First, we're going to take out Fran, right? Our old nemesis / buddy. Then you go take out UNC. And then after that, yeah, right? Go beat Kelvin Sampson again. Just another nemesis. And then it's either Florida secret scrimmage rematch.
1998 NCAA tournament loss.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
No. Wait, Tyler, I know you care about our Twitter account so much, but we sent out a troll tweet like for the Florida fans after they won their secret scrimmage this year, like having them hang a banner instead of their banner hanging that they had for their national championship for earlier in the year. But like I said, like, let's print the shirts or whatever, and we have a few bookmark tweets ready to go if we get that opportunity.
Boy, that'd be fun.
I'm sure in both directions, but
oh, for right sure.
So
I'm actually looking at this. In 2000, we played Penn in the first round, and then we played Florida in the second round.
Florida 2000, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and then Florida ends up making the Final Four that year, right? They make a deep run.
I think Florida played Butler like the game before, and that remember about Mike Miller? I think he was a guy from Florida, a longtime NBA guy, but he made a ridiculous last second shot that bounced around the rim like four times and fall in just to get to the point where they would play Illinois. And alas, you talk about getting a favorable, you know, bracket situation. Didn't happen that year, but so that was that's where the revenge tour goes to Florida from the year 2000. Frank Williams finally gets his revenge.
Exactly. That's a crazy one. Florida was the five seed that year. They won in overtime against Butler, as Tyler just described. And then they go all the way down and make the national championship. They're an overtime shot away from losing in the first round.
Yeah.
And everyone being like, Billy Donovan is a fraud too. Then they make the national championship. This tournament is wild.
unless you're UConn from whatever last year, whatever, years ago, every national champion has a game like that where that's just that you win, you got to win a game you shouldn't have won. That's kind of how the tournament plays out usually.
Advance. Metaphor that Robert always uses of like, what is that card game war where it's like you're just gonna pull like a seven sometime. You know, you play 5-6 games, you're gonna pull seven. You gotta hope your opponent sometimes pulls a four, right? So you see these examples time and time again of like barely survive in advance, and then, you know, yes, that UConn team from a couple of years back, the one that we ran into, and then the UConn team before, like that was just unprecedented levels of buzzsaw that every team ran into. So it doesn't have to look pretty. Right. It's a friendly reminder to everyone that it does not have to look pretty. It just has to get done. I think everyone will feel a lot better on Thursday if it looks pretty, but it does not have to look pretty. I think we'll obviously be a little bit more anxious going into Saturday if, you know, it ends up being a squeaker. But it's nice to see, Tyler, that you at least feel very – you are definitely a very much so like a voice of reason when it comes to these games. So it is nice to hear you. You're not like too concerned.
Well, don't think I haven't despaired over this last month. I mean, the Rube Goldbergian sequence of events has had to happen in all of these games consecutively for us to lose four consecutive overtime games. It's just infinitesimal odds.
Sure.
And so that's what Robert keeps coming back to. That's where we feel like we're due. But you go back to just, okay, you take those coin flip, you take those coin flip outcomes out of the equation. Illinois has still been a really good basketball team over the last month. They've just lost a bunch of really close games that came down to coin flip possessions. You can argue the idea that they probably ended up in those situations because of some poor play down the stretch in those games, but they're still coin flip games. And so on the whole, there's no reason for anybody who can look at this team from an objective point of view and not say that they should be a strong favorite to handle Penn with extreme prejudice.
Sure.
I'm sorry for my giggles during that. We had someone take over Sam's laptop and show us his trip already booked to Greenville Spartanburg Airport. That is the person that is with Johnny all the time. Well, not all the time, but like during the last run to where were you guys? Omaha?
Print the
Omaha
shirts.
On TV.
Print the
yeah,
shirts.
Yeah. Those
print
are the shirts that were actually printed.
Print the shirts.
Of both of them yelling and going crazy down on the court. But yeah.
Print the shirts. So, I hope to see you
apologies
boys.
For my laugh there.
Hope to see you boys there. Yes, Johnny, as you to Tyler's point, Johnny, as you alluded in the post Big Ten tournament podcast, like you hope the law of averages plays out a little bit here. And I know the tournament, you know, is like the opposite of the law of averages, and it's what makes it so much fun. But you hope when you look back on the season and with the infinitesimal, you know, 0-for-4 in overtime kind of gets balanced out here.
We got times
by a couple. We got times, folks.
We got times. We are the second game of the tournament.
What time?
11:40 a.m. Central, 12:40 Eastern.
11:40 a.m.
Figured as much.
11:40 a.m. Central. Sorry, everyone.
Literally the second game of the tournament.
Game of the tournament.
11:40 a.m. Take a look at that real quick.
You were very correct, Tyler, on how they were going to put that Greenville.
Okay. You just got to win that game. Then you get to enjoy a full slate of Thursday.
Let's block sometimes.
That's interesting.
11. Just all right. Just taking a look at some things. Okay. Cool. I'm going to give a little hot take here. I like it. You get it out of the way. And you hopefully enjoy, you know, two whole days of basketball. We've waited, right? We've been later games before, so if you can find a way to watch it, then you get to enjoy some ball for a couple days before you get nervous again.
Yes, that's the best case scenario. Is you win, take care of business, and then you have free basketball palooza for two straight days,
and a little more rest than the other team.
Absolutely. They got those tip times, guys. They're definitely like using AI. What do you think they've got to be just put like, do you think they've just got like chat, like here's the bracket, where's the locations, what should we put the times at? And then they just have it spit out this. All right, nice and early, get it out of the way. Okay, well, anyways, we were saying, yes, law of averages. Anyways, we were doing our stat 101 thing here.
Yes.
The law of averages to maybe.
An interesting law of averages here too is Penn made the tournament on back-to-back overtime wins.
against 159 and 162 in KenPom.
Yeah. So
look, I don't think any of us are sitting here being like, you know, actually feeling, you know, I think it helps to, you know, talk through it and rationalize it. And I understand like Illinois is not playing their hottest basketball of the season, but I think this is helpful to no matter what, the tournament is always going to make you anxious. I don't know about you guys, but my heart rate's going to be through the roof, I feel like, in those first few minutes. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, like, we're the one seed, we're playing Drexel. Like, I'm just first time, like, an Illinois team that I'm actually supporting is in the tournament. Like, I'm freaking out. So until we settle down a little bit, you're going to feel anxious. But this does – I will recall this recording when I'm nervous Thursday morning and –
Admittedly, the vibes are a little bit low after the Wisconsin loss and the way the season ended. But I think you have to go back to November and say, if you were told then that at the end of the regular season that we were going to be 24-8 and a 3 seed, you'd be like, yep, sign me up. So
absolutely.
And however that pathway turned out, then no one would have argued with that as an outcome back in November. So, you know, that's what they say. It's a 4 month season. Your seed is your seed because of your body of work. And yeah, we missed a shot at a 2 seed in St. Louis, because of the last few games. But I still think this is a team that can do damage over the next 3 weeks.
No doubt.
Sorry to jump in there. Here, we might have gotten duped.
Did we get duped?
Someone put it in a perfect format, just like I guess the field.
Did we
pass,
get
guys.
Duped?
I feel like Norlander's always first. Did he
tweet it?
I just got the exact screenshot that you normally would see from the Illini Board Slack channel. So I just was like, I'm taking this for word. Sturdy tweeted something, but he said potentially.
Did we get duped? But honestly, props to them, 6 years in a row with Saladino.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if we get duped, honestly,
Tyler, were props you? To them. I think. Tyler, I think you were in the press conference when Brad talked back to
Brad.
Brad.
Brad,
correct?
Yeah.
Did it feel like uncomfortable?
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
like, you've never seen that before from Brad?
I've not seen that
Underwood.
Before. Brad Underwood is usually very good in press conferences and gracious to all sorts of questions. But and Brad Sturdy, I talked to him after the press conference, and he admittedly said he didn't word it the way he wanted to. And I think he worded that question differently, as opposed to you say, hey, you struggled in the last, it's like an accusation. You struggled in the last month. And that kind of takes, you know, Underwood back, as opposed to saying, hey, what can you take from the last month of games to as you move forward, you know, then you can just word it better.
Yeah.
And then again, Steve Greenberg from the Sun Times, who just, how about his ripped piece on Chris Collins, by the way? Did you see that in the Sun Times before?
No, I did not. What did he do?
Well, I just he had the cover back cover story of the Sun Times on Thursday before Northwestern played, after Chris Collins had signed his new contract, was like, I think that the headline was Chris Miss, like, and he was, and it was just basically an article saying, I don't think Chris Collins has earned this this contract extension. He's got Northwestern going nowhere. Was the other little the lead in the headlines up. Steve Greenberg he asked the final question of the post Wisconsin game to Brad, and he brought that specific question up, and Brad Underwood answered him back to say, I just don't want the narratives to be out there, because I don't think that's the narrative. You know, it's just, you know, get a rebound here, make a free throw there, and we're talking about a different outcome. He's like, would it be a different narrative if we'd lost by 20 in those games as opposed to by in overtime? You know, that's kind of what his point was. So he just didn't like the narrative being put out there as such. And that's why I think he reacted to the question the way he did in Maryland.
Yeah, the read that I had on it was that he doesn't want it to affect his players' confidence to think that they are going to be
no doubt
thinking, oh, we can execute late. I feel like Brad in his heart of hearts is way more accountable than he made it appear, and that he would probably acknowledge internally, hey, we have struggled as of late. Like, you just look at the overtime record and the Nebraska loss, right? I think Brad's point is no one's probably talking about the perfect execution we had in that Purdue game, where that was a very tight game, and we just 3-3-3-3 to end the game. And we executed so well that it almost looked like it wasn't that close of a game. But yeah, hopefully.
It's so interesting. Like, Brad is obviously a fiery guy, but he's, and there are coaches that are more hot-headed, we'll say, that have a quicker spark to sort of getting at the media. Brad has never really been that guy, right? Can you ever recall a time where Brad has sort of chirped back like that at a question? Obviously, he's had some fiery press conferences, like, but he's not, he takes losses, I'll say, he takes losses very well in press conferences. He speaks to the media very graciously, gives very good quotes, like, and I'm sure, Tyler, you can speak to that. You've been in the press conferences. That's unlike Brad, and I want to believe, yeah, like you said, Johnny, like, he's just trying to control a narrative and not let his players, you know, get a little bit dismissive with their confidence. I'm sure behind closed doors, they understand, like, they know what's going on. They feel that frustration of losing four overtime games and these squeakers and all that. So very unlike Brad to do that.
Brad is jumping back in to use some corporate speak. Brad is a historically patient press conferencer. I've noticed that. And he gets some dumb questions. And if you look at Brett really draws a line with certain things that the media does. And Brad just like lets it roll off his shoulder. I've noticed that for someone who was, so it was very like interesting that he made a point of that.
Very off topic, but I just love it when Robert walks into the Brett press conference, he's like, Robert, how are you? I remember that one time.
How's your sweet ass?
just I know we're 8 months away from football. Someone, 8 months, but you know,
when Brett sees Robert, he's happy. When Brad gets popcorn, he's happy. Everyone has their things.
Everyone has their excitement. So did we get duped with
tip, I think,
times?
We got here? Duped.
Did we up get duped with tip times?
I'm like pretty confident it's a dupe schedule.
Wow. Okay.
I can't believe I fell for it.
That's okay. I mean, I'm not seeing. So here's the thing. I think we did get duped because it would be all over.
Is a legit source.
Who?
Rick Fieldsman?
Yeah, it's Rick Fieldsman. That's where that
feels. Oh no, Josh. Oh no.
But no, I realized that he's the one that put out the tweet, but I grabbed it from whoever got duped by him from the Illini Board Slack channel.
It's 30 reposted it, but yeah. Rick Fieldsman.
That's a good one.
And I was saying, it's really early. It's too early to.
Yeah,
I was looking back. Matt Norlander posted the game times last year at 7:05 p.m. So
we just got to hold that for 20 more minutes.
20 minutes, yeah.
Okay, we got a filibuster for another. It's as if like we need to be live when the tip times, because by the time you're listening to this, most certainly. I mean, the time makes sense. So maybe it's like a leaked thing, but that's
not from Rick Fieldsman. It's probably just a guess.
Mr. Fieldsman, absolutely just wow.
He owned me.
That's Scott Hughes' cousin, I think.
It's something like that.
Tyler, I do have a question for you, though. Yes, in your area of expertise medically as a physical therapist, Keaton's injury to the AC joint, do you think that has any effect on his play? I know you kind of alluded to that earlier, but just from like a mechanics perspective.
Certainly. I mean, the first thing when he fell on his shoulder, the first thing that I wanted to see, and as a matter of fact, ironically, I was watching the game with another couple of Illinois fans, one of which is an emergency room doctor, and both of us immediately said, just raise your arm up in the air, please. We just wanted to see if he could get his arm up in the air in the moment to see if there was any restriction of motion. He was just kind of shaking his arm a little bit, but he eventually raised his arm up in the air. I'm like, okay, good, nothing. That's like an initial sign. Like, there's nothing structural that is of immediate concern. But I mean, that's a really painful injury to land on your shoulder like that. Now it's going to be almost a month since that happened. What was that? February
21st. Yeah.
So, I mean, it makes sense. If you know, in retrospect, you say, yeah, look at his shot. He has shot well since then. He's been short on a lot of free throws. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh yeah, that's definitely why he's struggling. But is that a really painful injury, even if it's not structural, even if there's not structural damage? Absolutely. So, and you know, the heavy minute load that he takes, it can wear on you, you know, late in games like that. That's the question I asked him after the Wisconsin game on Friday. I asked him how he was physically. Of course, he's not going to say, yeah, my shoulder's killing me, but he said, no, I'm good to go. He's happy that they're actually going to have a lot of rest. If you think about it, you know, if you go back to the Oregon game, they'll have played what, 2 games in 2 weeks by the time the tournament rolls around. So that's another really good, I guess, bright side of losing on Friday. But
that was your article a couple days ago got me ready to run through a brick wall when you said, hey, the last time Illinois had this much rest was after the Nebraska game, and then they went out and reeled off, what, 12 straight wins?
Yeah.
And
they played really well against Wisconsin until they didn't. You know, yeah. They had 2 15-point leads. But and then my article today was kind of a breakdown of the final 10 minutes of that game when Wisconsin kept coming back. And it was a bunch of factors. You know, we missed some free throw one-on-ones. Missed some open shots. There was some, you know, questionable officiating calls, some shaky defense and shaky rebounding. But again, if any one of those plays goes the other way, if Jake Davis makes his free throw, if Keaton hits the one-on-one on the play where he fell down on, we probably win. It's just if Big Z makes one of two wide open threes he had, we win that game. So it's just it's hard to go back to that discussion we had earlier to apply these narratives when it's just a coin flip on some of these games. So that's why I still am bullish on this team despite the sure. stretch in February where we've lost these overtime games.
Going back to our silver linings of getting to rest more, if we had, let's say we hold on against Wisconsin, lose to Michigan, does that change the seeding or does that change our bracketology?
I don't know, that's a good question.
At all, right? Because if it doesn't, again, 6-1, half a dozen either, would you rather beat Wisconsin than maybe, I don't know, I don't want to lose to 16 by Michigan or something like that, and conference goes down. If you're going to lose to Wisconsin, lose again at least like this. So you never want to lose, but I'm wondering, I don't know at this point if that would have necessarily modified much for us.
I think it's a great point, Maddie, because unless you beat Michigan and then go in and beat Purdue, like Purdue has already jumped you. And instead, now we're in theoretically the best one seed region. Yeah. So in some ways we're maybe more satisfied with that other than the St. Louis draw. And I'm hoping that there were some lessons learned from this Wisconsin game. And when I say lessons learned, I'm really talking about one lesson, and it's Kylan Boswell. We need you to stay in the game, and we can't have you picking up dumb fouls. Like, it's really just that simple of we needed you to play defense against Nick Boyd and John Blackwell, and you had 2 fouls in a minute in the game, right? And you kind of had that lesson learned of we're not going to let our emotions get the best of us and waste a foul like that.
Yeah.
That was tough.
Senior leadership and defense, they say that travels in March Madness, right? We've got senior leadership. So, Kylan, it's time for you to step up. I like doing this. I think it obviously is a little bit sometimes silly because it almost never comes true, but I like we do the yearly, like, give me your crazy random hot take for Illinois in the tournament. Mine will be Illinois wins an overtime game in March Madness this
yes.
year.
Yes.
We finally, the law of averages begins to sway back. The pendulum begins to sway back. So my silly little hot take that probably will not come true, hopefully it doesn't even need to come true, is Illinois wins an overtime game in March Madness. Not against Penn, though. Goodness gracious, please.
Yeah.
Not against.
I feel like it has to happen almost for this season to come full circle. But can you imagine what the fans' mind, our fans' mindset's going to be as we enter an overtime game in the Big Ten tournament?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, in the NCAA tournament, I should say. It's just, we're going to be a wreck. Just a bunch of quivering Rex.
Yeah. Psychologically, you don't want to be there. I feel like you just don't want to. You don't want to be in an overtime game unless it's in the Elite Eight or beyond.
I would love to do that in the Elite Eight too against Florida, where everyone's like, oh, it just dispels all of the narratives of, oh, Brad Underwood can't coach, yada, yada, yada. Oh, really? To make the Final Four against the team that just won the national title? Like,
That's cool. A good take, Johnny. You would take an overtime Final Four appearance.
Yeah, is that your hot take? Is that your hot take, Johnny?
The defending national champion.
Is that your X Factor hot take, Johnny?
Johnny wins the Josh Award for most obvious takes on this podcast today.
which honestly, you know what we haven't said in a really long time, Josh?
Tell me.
I know what you're going to say.
It's Keaton Wagler is good at basketball, right?
That is true. I haven't been able to say that.
Let's remind him of that. Tyler, let's remind Tommy Ivicic that there's someone who has the record for most threes in an NCAA tournament game by a 7-footer. And that man is Tomislav Ivicic, all right? We just need the law of averages to come back with Tommy. Make those threes. The mustache looks good. We're ready to go.
So I can find my way to Greenville for the pregame press conference. I'll find a way to work that question in just so Tommy remembers that.
Please do.
Tommy, you were the seven-footer with the most three-pointers in any NCAA tournament game last year, if you remember right. What do you have to do to get back to that form?
How do you do that?
There's actually another member of Illini Media who's already like tweeted some very hyping up players type stuff as well.
I think we got to read it.
Is it an apology letter?
No.
Dear Keaton Wagler, it has been a joy covering you this season.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what your future plans are, but for your career and safety, it may be time to take the next step to the next level. Unfortunately, you don't always get calls you deserve while others seem to. You're a great young man with an awesome family behind you. Your future and well-being are bigger than how the game is being called right now in the hashtag B1G, hashtag Illini.
So not true. Could have said it better myself.
XOXO. Hugs and kisses. other hot, anyone, a hot take? Tyler, give me something crazy.
Illini related or bracket related?
Bracket related.
Pick your poison, whichever you'd like. Yeah, give me something that probably won't happen, but is fun to.
Keaton's going to have a 30-point game in this tournament.
Love it. He's good at basketball.
See? That's the one that I really want to be against Houston. Like, I want that Flemings versus Wagler debate. And Keaton, Tyler, I feel like people don't realize how competitive Keaton is because he's kind of got that baby face. But yeah. I really noticed it when we went to the Northwestern game. And you kind of see him in person. And he's kind of both, like, cold-blooded, but also a little bit like Steph Curry got a little bit of, like, anger to him that maybe you don't notice right off the bat. And that would just be the perfect opportunity against a guy who's supposed to be great in the draft, against a physical team like Houston, to be like, you know what? Yeah, I can handle the physicality and the athleticism and just beat you in your home court.
I'm down with that. So we'll mark that down. My official hot take is Keaton scores 30 plus in a game against Houston that sends Illinois to the Elite Eight.
I like that one. Side question, have any of you guys, I know we're playing Penn, obviously, have any of you guys been to the Palestra before?
I was there for the Penn State initiative. It was fantastic.
Tyler, you were there? Josh, yeah. You were there? Johnny, you been there?
Been there.
I've been there. Wait, Sam, have you been there?
Yeah, I have a picture of myself right outside the Palestra.
Outside?
We're walking Penn's campus.
Have you
if
been
someone
inside?
Asked me,
have you
if
been
someone
inside?
Asked me where I was, I would be lying if I did not say the Palestra.
Did you go inside?
Did you go inside?
Yeah, I went to the Palestra. Yeah,
inside. Were you on the court,
Tyler? If you can't tell, this is a running thing that we've had going on for
7 years. This is like a 7 year joke. We were on a baseball trip, and we entered.
Sam
the Palestra.
Was meeting us the next day. Yeah,
we entered the Palestra. Some player was shooting on the court. We were rebounding for him. It was great, and Sam has never. That's Sam's probably greatest regret, right?
Yeah, that and not buying Bitcoin earlier. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
would have been nice.
That's your hot take.
Because I definitely, you know, I will not be able to go inside at any point in my life.
Nope. I think it's closed. Any other hot takes? Anything else, boys? Again, I know we might have to end this before the tip time is out. So if the tip time, if we end up getting duped and that's not the actual time.
I thought
time,
someone had a Miami of Ohio take that they were going
to. Oh, yeah. Johnny, I know you've been following this story close.
I do have a take about Miami of Ohio. I'm sad that they're playing in the first four. I wanted to see them get throttled by a six seed. I don't want them to like lose in a close game and be like, oh, look, Miami deserved to be in. That was close. I wanted to see them lose by like 30. So unfortunately, we don't get to see that. But the biggest thing with the Mac is I'm just glad we don't have to deal with John Gross. Because that would have been such a narrative that would not have been fun. That would have just given that Akron team another extra edge.
I was complaining about the narrative with Franny McCaffrey, but yeah, the John Gross narrative would have been that times 10. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy to miss that one too. No question.
I was thinking about this. I legit wonder if he could get another power job. Like, I feel
Cincinnati?
Like he is, does it. Ohio roots. I think Taylor Where he went to college is in Ohio, I think. I could be wrong.
Might be Indiana, but Midwest.
Indiana, but Midwest. But he's
He
probably
pulls
not the
off an
worst
upset.
candidate.
If he
Yeah.
pulls off an upset, I could see like a Cincinnati wanting to, or any Power Five team really
Which
taking him.
good for him.
Time is just a flat circle. Like it's
Yeah.
just you just do the, enough time passes and it's like we got to give this gross guy a shot. He's great with them, great in the MAC. Like let's give him a shot in the Big Ten. That'd be wild if he got hired back in the Big Ten though. What's like the most likely Big Ten team to hire a John Gross kind of guy?
Penn State.
Yeah, it's like a program builder, rah-rah.
I thought that the same, I thought that a landing spot for him, because he'll be up, I think he's probably on some list to move up again. I thought a good landing spot for him was going to be St. Louis because I figured their guy would leave, and that would be a nice move up for John Gross to stay in the Midwest. But then it looks like that shirts St. Louis got a new contract, so that's not going to happen. So.
Well, maybe he's just a Mac guy. Nothing wrong with that.
There was a chance that he might have gone to Ohio State had Ohio State kind of gone in the opposite direction. And he was like the lead recruiter on, I think, the Mike Conley and Greg Oden players. Like he was an assistant there for a while. So had things kind of gone south for Diebler, which they kind of put it back together and made the tournament. But yeah, same thing. Like maybe I thought Xavier last year was a potential opportunity for him, but then they hired Patino. But yeah, we'll see where John Gross ends up. I'm sure he's also just happy to be in Akron,
Would you
right?
hire him or his brother-in-law to Miami?
Oh
That's
my,
kind of, they're like the two
that's
guys that are
crazy.
probably up for some of these jobs that'll be, opportunity to move up a notch. But
All I know is wherever he goes, Dustin Ford will be there as well.
yeah.
Has Jamal served his one game suspension? Never, never,
Never.
never. Never. All right, boys, it's the best time of the year.
I think my the funniest thing in the bracket, very non-Illinois related, only tangentially, was Mick Cronin and UCLA getting sent back to Philadelphia
Yep.
in a region with UConn and Michigan and I mean with Duke and Michigan State and Kansas and just a nightmare of a bracket. And he's got to go all the way back across the country to Philly to make it happen. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I love it. Over under the first 45 seconds of like the first press conference he gives about the bracket, does he talk about the travel? Like I'll set that into first or second question that they ask him.
I'll take the under.
Had an easier Big Ten schedule. They could have won more games and then gotten to choose their region. Waterfall effect.
Hey, Maddie, before we leave,
Yeah.
I feel like we've ended our Selection Sunday podcast the same way every year, which is this is a successful tournament if Illinois does blank. Josh, you want to lead us off?
Elite Eight. Wow. It's a successful tournament. And remember, there's bars here. Your sentence was this is a successful tournament if we I don't if we make it to Elite Eight. We meet standard if we get to the Sweet 16, I feel like, because we'd be playing a much harder team. Disappointment if we don't make it to the Sweet 16. There's no other way to say it. Everything else is gravy after the like make after making it to Elite Eight, which is the Josh Greenberg Award for keeping Wagler is good at basketball take.
They give that out each year.
Sam Schwaber.
Successful is Sweet 16 and a really good push against Houston. Elite Eight's hard. But I think like really good push against Houston is kind of like okay, like you sort of left it all out there against a good team and you were maybe around a top 10 team. John. Popcorn Johnny.
Yeah, I'll say Sweet 16. I would consider that to be a success. I don't think it's a crazy smash hit success, but what ends up happening is you make the Sweet 16 and then the goalposts then shift. Oh, Brad can't make the Final Four or whatever. But I think it's just make the Sweet 16, just be consistently a second weekend team, and this is your opportunity to do that, and then the rest of the games are gravy.
I think for months, Tyler, I'll let you have, I want to let you have the last one, Tyler. For months, I think the expectation has been Sweet 16, right? Sure, maybe amidst our perfect month, we started thinking Final Four, but I think the expectation essentially has been Sweet 16 or bust for months. So I'm not going to change my tune. Statistically, mathematically, spread wise, gambling wise, like you are favored and expected probably to make the Sweet 16. I'm totally with you, Johnny. If we make it, all of a sudden those goalposts are going to move, but it feels like you've got to win a couple games this weekend, or some of that noise, fair or unfair, is going to get so loud. So you got to go to the Sweet 16, find a way to win two games. Tyler, we want you to have the last go at it. I can't imagine your take is going to be immaculately, spectacularly different,
It's not
but.
different. I'm with you guys. I mean, my benchmark is always the second weekend. If you have a Sweet 16 NCAA tournament performance, then you had a successful tournament. But and Johnny said it perfectly, I agree that the goalposts are going to move. I mean, if you hit the Sweet 16, then it'd be and then you're likely going to come up against a team that you're not going to be favored against. But let's say Houston gets knocked off and all of a sudden the bracket opens up. Then the goalposts really change. But at the beginning of every season, go back to November again, a Sweet 16 appearance is always a successful year in my book.
Point blank, point blank. Let's do a few more of these podcasts then this year, guys. It's the best time of the year, everyone. All right, I guess we're ending this thing. The tip times are not out. We will just have to go quietly into the night here and keep refreshing Twitter for the next minutes or hours until the tip time comes out. But thanks so much, everyone, for listening to this episode of The Boardroom. Oh, by the way, if you are in the Chicagoland area, hit up Finley Dunn's. Look, you've heard me say it once. You'll hear me say it again. You're gonna want to get there nice and early, especially that Saturday game. Methinks it's gonna be nice and packed in the
Yeah,
bar.
I can
So
speak to that.
yeah. So
That was a great night, but that was a crowd.
that was fun, Tyler. There's that video of you and me hugging, embracing.
Yeah,
My favorite video.
That is so fun.
The tallest and the shortest guy in the bar.
Tal, you should know that that video is actually played all the time at the bar. There's one of those like, bar TVs that plays like videos and,
Yeah, I've
pictures of
seen
it.
you.
Yeah, and it's there. So it's there living history there.
Awesome.
Yeah, get there early is my advice if you're going. And if you're going to South Carolina, get loud, wear orange, and say hi to Johnny. All right. We'll catch you on the next episode of The Boardroom. Thanks for listening, everyone. ILL.